Welcome. No matter what we may have learned, the nature of mind, the essence of mind is pure like space. The totality of mind is pure like space. And this mind that is so obvious to us at all times is not restricted or localized in any way. The forever stainless space of pure mind, pure being, has never held to anything. It's never fallen to anything. It's never been made into anything. And the reality of this in our own being is pure being of pure pleasure. With the pure seeing of complete perceptual openness in all experience, no matter what it is, it's very clear that nothing has ever been made into anything. And so how this relates to us in a very practical way is that no matter what appears within our mind, within our body, in terms of sensations, emotions, with the thinking that is the process of mentation or whatever appears to be outer, all the appearances that appear to be external to us, our body, everything that appears is free form play. It's a free form play of pure pleasure. It's never been made into any kind of a form. It's free of form. And what we could liken this to is a magnificent home. This pure, all-encompassing seeing is a magnificent home. And in the magnificent home, no matter what door we open, whatever is there is filled with pure pleasure. The clear light wisdom body of pure being has never been stuck anywhere. It's never been stuck to anything because there isn't anything within it. It's entirely aspectless. And so even though we may have learned many other things, that doesn't mean that that's the way it is. In the magnificent home, no matter what door we open, it's light-filled and filled with pure pleasure, filled with the wisdom, the ultimate gnosis of being, the all-knowingness that is the essence of being. So we can open one door and inside it see everything we've ever wanted, and it's all pure pleasure. And we can open another door and see everything we never wanted, and that's all pure pleasure. And we can open another door and see the family we always wanted, and that's pure pleasure. And then we can open another door and see the family we're dissatisfied with, and that's pure pleasure. We can open one door with all of our pleasant emotions, and that's pure pleasure. And another door with all of our unpleasant emotions, and that's all pure pleasure. The free-form play of pure seeing doesn't differentiate in any way. And the reality of our being, in this sense, cannot be contrived in any way. What is totally uncontrived cannot be contrived. And no matter what you've learned to the contrary, it's impossible to contrive the utter relaxation of the ease of being. By simply hearing the communication of pure being, the certainty of it dawns in one's mind stream. As we already know who we are, the certainty of who we are dawns easily. It dawns swiftly. It isn't an arduous process. If we think that there's anything involved, immediately we've made pure being into something that we need to fool around with. If we just enjoy the utter relaxation of the complete wide open spaciousness of pure seeing, then everything that is seen is totally pure. In our magnificent home of pure wisdom light, we can open the kitchen door and all the mountain of food we've eaten in our lives is all pure pleasure, and the oceans of liquids we've drunk are all pure pleasure. And have any of those ever led anywhere? I mean, if they really were something, wouldn't we be big as a mountain? Wouldn't we just be flooded with this ocean of liquid we've drunk? So the pure being of everything is that everything that appears, no matter what it is entirely insubstantial. It has no independent nature. Its nature, always and forever, flawless and totally empty, is that of pure being. It's that of pure pleasure. It's never been made into anything else. And pure pleasure, the pure pleasure of pure being, is completely beyond anything like states of bliss or non-conceptual states or clarity or anything like that. It needs nothing to change whatsoever. No matter what appears, it's totally free in its own place. It's totally pure in its own place. It's never been anything other than that. If we cling to something as though it is something other than that, then immediately the switch of pleasure seems to be turned off. And we're looking then for pleasure in something. We desperately are looking for pleasure in an appearance somewhere, any kind of appearance, a good thought, a good emotion, a good experience, good food, good money, good sex, good work, good relationships. Whatever it is, so the quest is on, the search is on, the search for pleasure in the appearances that can never give pleasure other than in their pure being. The search is on. But when we bring the search to a grinding halt, we find that there's nothing to be sought. There's absolutely nothing to be sought. In the utter ease, the utter relaxation of the reality of our own being just as it is, everything is absolutely perfect. Even if it's described as something positive or something negative or something neutral, pure being is an expanse of complete equalness and evenness. It's never been divided into anything. It's never known any concept whatsoever, whether it's positive, neutral, negative, good, bad. In pure being, there have never been differentiations of any kind. The pure being of pure seeing is totally pure light that outshines all presuppositions of any kind of differentiation whatsoever. And that outshining is the spaciousness of the utter relaxation of pure seeing alone. The relaxation that is the essence of being, the total relaxation that is the essence of being, the total ease that is the essence of being, in which there's no need to do anything about anything. Nothing need be done whatsoever. Everything is free form play, wide open and spacious. There's no destination to seek whatsoever, or anyone to seek it. Just the utter ease of what is naturally present and obviously so, fully evident as the absolute pleasure, the unmitigated pleasure of that which never changes, that which is entirely indestructible. And the evidence of this is our capacity to relax with whatever appears. Not relax as something other than what appears. The awareness of what appears arises spontaneously in what appears. There's never been differentiation of any kind. There's never been an experiencer and experienced, a perceiver and perceived. Just the wide open spaciousness of all knowing, all seeing. The flawless knower who is the doer of everything. The flawless knower who is seeing everything. This is it. Nothing else. The ease of simply allowing the super completeness of what we are to be as it is so simple. It's just so simple. It's not a complicated matter. It's never been made into complexities or systems or methods or practices of any kind. And in this is a wisdom that is beyond anything that could be conjured up with labels. Anything that can be conjured up with labels is a magician's trick. It's just a magician's trick. The primordial wisdom, the fundamental wisdom that is at the basis, is equal to pure seeing, and it requires no thought. So just in this simple essence of total ease that is so complete and unerring and can never be altered in any way, just the natural ease that we feel in every moment is the essence of everything that appears. We're always already complete. There's nothing to be sought and no one to seek it. If we think there's someone to seek something, then we're always looking at an ever-receding horizon. In pure seeing, there's nothing to prove or nothing to refute, nothing whatsoever. There's nothing to learn, nothing to study, nothing to do. The absolute essence of everything that is just the ease of what's right here, the natural ease of not needing to think about everything. But even if thoughts are thought, those thoughts themselves are the efflorescence of pristine awareness, of pristine mind, of pristine seeing that's always totally pure and always completely pleasureful without needing to seek pleasure anywhere. To rely on cause and effect methods and practices to get somewhere is to be an eternal pessimist. So say that we want to do anything in life, whether it's know the fundamental nature of our being or learn to bake the perfect cake or whatever it is, if anything is seen as a destination with someone going there, there's eternal pessimism. There's seeking, seeking, seeking for what is already present. And when the seeking of all present seeing becomes the dedicated space of something that is impossible to grasp, then there's total frustration. All destinations and anyone going there are completely forever empty awareness, forever empty pure mind. Just relax and enjoy that with nothing needing to be done about what appears. Pure being is all good. It's never been made into some good and some bad, some positive and some negative. If we believe that that's the case, then we'll never know wisdom. It's impossible to know wisdom because wisdom isn't caught up in cause and effect. It isn't caught up in time and dedicated space. To be is to be carefree and effortless, totally at ease, no matter what appears, nothing special to do. No special appearance to hold on to. the great equalness of everything. The basic space of pure mind in which everything is absolutely equal. In the insubstantiality of everything, not anything that appears has ever had an independent nature. It's never been substantial in its own right, no matter what it is. No matter how fiery, no matter how forceful it may seem, it's nothing but pure space. The pure space of infinite expansiveness. The senses, all of the senses, no matter what they are, the seeing, the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, the touching, the thinking, the emoting, all of these things are completely neutral, and they don't differentiate in any way whatsoever between anything that appears. It's only the describing mind that differentiates between what appears. The senses themselves are awareness imbued. They're imbued with pure mind. They have no functionality other than that of pure being, of pure mind. It's the need to reify, describe, label, and give words to what appears and insist that those words are something that is the cause of suffering. Like an easygoing person who has nothing more to do, relax completely. No matter what's appearing, if you're involved in a high energy pursuit or if you're just enjoying some rest in bed, no matter what it is, relax body and mind completely. In that is all the wisdom that's ever needed. It's the wisdom beyond philosophy, beyond philosophical conceptual frameworks that describe endlessly. Have you ever been tickled? There's no way to think about that, you know, at least for a split second. There's just sheer delight. Then there might be, oh, I like tickling or I don't like tickling. No matter what we see, all there is the complete perceptual openness of this pure seeing. That's it. No one seeing, nothing being seen. This is the ease of being the master of illusion. Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask?
Want to share something? I'd like you to know we had quite a difficult day because of all this hell and heaven. And I felt it for a long time, and this time I remembered you. So I went away from her, but in love. So no got support from Jochen, thank you. And then we've been the whole day apart from each other, met each other, just one or two sentences and a smile and then away, the whole day. So I don't know, I was doing a walkway for more than 5-6 hours, and this thing was all working. And then I went into bed. She was not there, and the same thing. I read, same thing. Finally, I went to sleep. 4 o'clock, I woke up, read again. And that was different. It was a lot of breathing. And then I wanted to switch off the light and looked once more at her, and she was not seen. I've seen only her hand. And her hand made a very small move, like an innocent child something. I tried to describe, but something must happen. An explosion of compassion and love, and I was standing there and I didn't know. It was like a little bit like a white light, I don't know. So I was standing there and didn't know what to do. So I went in the bed and then I really could somehow see the whole thing. Like I've seen all these thoughts, emotions and all that, like structures, and they all fell down and it was very solid, but when it fell down, nothing was left. It was totally empty and stillness and so much joy. And it was so huge, all this. And I don't know how it was going on, like, then I could see it, the restructuring of it, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, and connecting, 1, 2, 3, connecting. So to a point, like, you think, oh, now I got it, I understand. And then it became solid. So it built it up like this. But I was not in it. I was like seeing it. It was amazing. And between that was something like, I would say like truth. Similar like a thought. But it had no structure. Like, the only way or whatever to be connected with that is just either be it, you be that love, undirected, unconditioned, just, I would rather call it compassion. It's just amazing compassion. You be it or you rest. Anything else is useless. Yeah, there's one. And then I've seen the tricky thing, like the spirituality stuff. You know, there came a thought like, oh yeah, good teaching. It's like Osho and all that. I've heard it. And it was as well, like connecting, but very fine. Same thing, structure. So I was laying from 4 o'clock up to 9 o'clock beside her and laughing and enjoying the game and realizing that that's all belief systems. And it's no good, no bad. If there are no belief systems, nothing would exist. Not you, not me, not the tree. Nothing at all. It's all just structured belief systems. It's just neutral. So I was thankful for... It was just... it's so long since then. So the excitement is a little bit gone. It's more clarity now. Yeah, that was it. So I'm full of laughter and joy. Such a big liberation. And even that I know you and me are the same. I can feel it. Thank you for your being and your teaching. And thank you all around me and my... She's supporting me the whole time with all that, so...
Wow, what can we say? What can we say? What can we say about what is so obvious? And whatever appears, it doesn't matter what it is. The wisdom of non-appearances isn't separate from appearances. And that pure pleasure is equal to love, wisdom, and energy, tremendous energy. And just in a flash, it's seen the compassion that is relentless, unstoppable, the compassion that could never be cultivated or developed. The compassion that can be cultivated and developed is lifeless and extreme compared to unstoppable compassion. Unstoppable compassion shows no bias. It's like the sun, it shines equally everywhere. Totally innocent, totally free.
There is no reason for anybody of us to worry about anything. It's so so unbelievable. Yeah, it's so big, it's so crazy, it's so, you know, it's not even a way or it leads you to nothing. It's just, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Nothing.
There's nothing to say, is there? Inexpressible. Uh-huh. Indefinable.
Mm. 4 hours laying, I couldn't sleep. It was just joy, 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 joy. And even I got a trap for myself, like trap, it's no trap at all. Because I was always like wanting to stabilize the good points of view. Because it seemed to be right, you know, to be good or to experience good things. That was the first step to make it more solid for me. Mm. So easy to go in that direction. Yeah. Enjoyment and all that. It's nothing. Mm.
We learn that enjoyment is in doing only good things, having only good thoughts, having only good emotions. And there is, of course, some enjoyment in that because everyone wants to be a good person. However, all goodness and pure enjoyment, all-encompassing goodness, all-encompassing enjoyment is inclusive of everything, no matter what the label imputes. So this pure joy, pure enjoyment, pure pleasure, it is the effusion of everything just as it is. No matter what the labels are, it's the enjoyment that's beyond ordinary ideas about enjoyment, where everything is totally equal. There's never been anything that isn't equal. It's impossible that that could be the case.
All this stuff fell down, it was equal. It was empty, it was... nothing.
Pure love does not have an address. It doesn't have an address. It's only the positive things. Pure unconditional love is inclusive of everything. Anyone else have a question they'd like to ask?
It's beautiful to come here, and it's beautiful to hear your words and to be in this place, in this world, Lakshmanjula or Rishikesh, where we feel supported in that understanding, and we feel supported in... But how to maintain that when you're in the midst of not obvious, when you're not supported in your community, or, you know, we come out, we talk and share and we live that love, but then there is the chaos and the, even though this is, even though it's imbued with that, how to maintain the vision.
You'll get used to it. There's no destination whatsoever. To be tied to a destination of something is to be imprisoned. So whatever it is, just this right here, it's completely open and spacious, completely free, whether it's chaos or an idyllic environment or whatever it is. And you've only trained yourself to believe otherwise, you see. You've trained yourself by listening to what other people say, and then based on that you think that's the way it is. That some things have pain associated with them and other things have pleasure. But the mind is the only source of pain and pleasure, or all the appearances that they describe. When today's world, it's just ever-changing. Isn't that clear? There's never been a time in human history when there have been more radical changes happening more quickly. Never been anything like this ever before. And so when you ask about support, which is a very practical question, because the way the world is today, it's possible to offer support to people 24/7, in other words, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter where they live on the globe. And that's one of the things that's offered in the Great Freedom Teaching. We have an incredible worldwide support system. We use all kinds of internet technology and telecommunications and other electronic technology to keep people knitted together. And so we're just adopting a new technology right now called Adobe Connect Pro, where I'll be able to give talks every day, and anyone anywhere in the world can be present at the talk and ask questions. And then also, if someone can't be present at the real-time talk, the talk is stored so it can be viewed another time. So you see, there are many ways today that go beyond all the traditional forms. So that support is always present. What we've learned is, many of us, is that what appears that it is real and that it's either good or bad. And so when we first hear that there's a possibility other than that for looking at the world, then we often feel kind of betwixt in between. We know that what we've heard is true. It rings like a clear crystal bell in our heart. But at the same time, we don't know how we're going to bridge this transition. However, when truth is heard in an unerring way, conviction dawns, certainty dawns within you, and you can count on that. It can happen quickly, it can happen slowly, it doesn't matter what it is, it's just the way it is. Whatever happens, happens. It's just like anything else we learn in human life. We learn it through the support of others. And there are many people available to support.
But ultimately, our support is right here, and we learn to make choices based on that connection, the bridge to the stillness space, or, you know, that instead of having to depend on the outside for something, we can go in, you know, inside.
Well, if there were an outside and an inside, that would be true.
Okay. That's tricky.
Yeah, there are just a lot of ways of substantializing the self. Not just non-spiritual ways, there's spiritual ways too of substantializing the self with thoughts and emotions associated with an individual self, one's own ideas. And whenever that occurs, then we set ourselves apart from each other, and we see others, and we see a world of differentiation. And then the way we play out our lives is to compete by showing our abilities, how well we can think, what we can do. So you see, actually, a very important part of the utter relaxation of all complete pure being is to reach out for support. Because you're only reaching out to yourself, you see what I'm saying? And there's no in here where something's located. Pristine awareness doesn't have an address. It's not located in here.
I guess when I feel that separateness and it becomes, the emotions are very strong, then, you know, letting the dust settle, however you want to frame that, but, you know, allows me to then maybe take a nice step in the reaching. The positive reaching out. So
when you just relax.
Become more transparent to the field of our being.
Exactly. Well, let's use a practical example. I don't know whether this is pertinent to your life, but to most people's lives it is, and that's sexual desire. So say sexual desire comes up. Now, there are four things that can be done with sexual desire. To indulge it, to avoid it through different means like solitude and celibacy. Three, to replace it with something else. So sexual desire comes up, it doesn't feel appropriate, you feel like you shouldn't do it, so then you decide to replace it with something else like meritorious activities, beneficial activities to kind of keep it at bay. In all of these approaches, the passion of sexual desire, other than with indulgence, with avoiding and replacing, the sexual desire is neutralized. So it just goes into neutral. It really isn't seen as it is. It's just completely neutralized. It's being kept at bay. It isn't really being seen as it is, as the efflorescence of pristine awareness. It's only in the fourth approach, which is to rest as flawless awareness, see the sexual desire as flawless awareness, and the awareness arising as the sexual desire itself. It's just the effusion, the efflorescence of awareness and nothing else. It's never been made into a substantial thing. And this is true with any passionate emotion, no matter what it is, these highly afflictive states. Then to rest as awareness and see it as awareness, eventually it is awareness, you see what I'm saying? Whereas if there's just the free falling into either avoiding it, replacing it with something else, or indulging it, there's absolutely no freedom. In resting as the sexual desire itself, it's transmuted into flawless wisdom, which is what it always is. So there's really nothing transmuted. It's just that we learn and we have the habit of seeing the sexual desire as something. to remove sexual desire from our being, to neutralize it in any way, is to devitalize ourselves, to take away the true, tremendous vitality of potently beneficial force. Now, you know, we may choose not to be celibate or live in solitude, but that shouldn't be an antidote to sexual desire. Do you see what I'm saying? Or to any other afflictive state. If we choose to be celibate or live in solitude or use any of these means to avoid sexual desire, then it's really good to rest as that celibacy, to not see it as something that's more pure than sexual desire. So, yeah, this applies to all states, no matter what they are.
Well, it's denial to try to control and categorize it. It's like locking the refrigerator if you have an eating disorder, you know, and then event, you know, the disorder is still there or whatever the tendency. So you, the minute that the thing's unlocked, then, you know, watch out.
Yeah, it's, well, many of us learn when we're growing up that everything that appears basically is an enemy. You know, the things we really like and give us pleasure, we can't hold on to those, so that's an enemy. And the things we don't want, we can never get rid of, so that's an enemy too. And so to just rest as the pure seeing of all being, to just enjoy the ease of our being while the appearances do whatever they will, it's just like throwing small baskets of flowers in a moving river. You know, they just go on their own way. They're not connected to each other in any way. And this makes life so easy. And in that is wisdom, non-discriminative wisdom. It doesn't discriminate in any way among appearances to arrive at right action. This is true freedom.
So when you say resting, allowing the sexual desire, you mean the sexual union would be throwing the flower into the basket, but you are the, can you go a little deeper?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Okay. In terms of, you're not saying sexual desire is neither good or bad, it's our, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from with that.
Expression of the sexual nature needs to come from wisdom,
okay,
not from an afflictive state.
Perfect.
Uh-huh. When we rest as awareness, then, as I said a few moments ago, then right action ensues. We know what to do in an unerring way without thinking about it, and what we do is beneficial to ourselves and others, whether it's celibacy, solitude, or being engaged with another human being. But no matter what it is, you see, sexual desire is not something that is other than what is totally pure. In ever clean awareness, there's never been anything unclean. There's no part of the body that's unclean. Everything, no matter what it is primordially pure. So whether it's an actual movement of sexual desire in the body, or thoughts of all kinds associated with that, or emotions, they're all primordially pure. But if we mix just the thoughts, emotions, and sensations together and make a decision based on those, then there won't be clear seeing. When we just enjoy the total open spaciousness of everything that that is, there already is pure pleasure. So you see, we don't need to look for pleasure in a sexual contact. We don't need to look for love in a sexual contact. The total connection that's never been disconnected is already complete.
Okay.
And if you are sexually active, and some people in this room are, then, you know, everything about that sexual activity, the seeing, the tasting, the touching, the hearing, the smelling, everything about it, the thinking, the emotions, all of those are primordially pure and awareness imbued, no matter where they go. And so to just enjoy that as the free-form play of total purity, of total pleasure, of total complete love, without needing to change anything. That makes that kind of intimacy very special and extraordinary.
I think you said what I need to hear, or said enough on the subject. I guess my only, coming from San Francisco, I just wanted to add this kind of maybe mistake from my point of view that people make, and feeling that they're having some kind of immaculate perception of truth, but then using that as an excuse really to just become like bunny rabbits, you know, and go around. And this is kind of tendency, like with Rajneesh, or, you know. So it's just a kind of a funny, sometimes you can dogmatize this teaching, which has a very wonderful, pure way about it. It doesn't stick to anything exactly, but it gets sticky sometimes when you use it as a vehicle for your passion train or whatever. So anyway, I don't see that as an issue here, but just something I've observed before with other groups, whether it's Amici, Osho, Punjaji, you know, where this kind of idea of we're all one then becomes a little, you know, password code for promiscuous sex, and so it's interesting. But I don't sense that in this room at all.
Well, nowadays there are many ideas about awareness and many books written about the truth of all being, and so there are people who read things and just say, oh, everything is awareness, my thoughts are awareness, my emotions are awareness, all my actions are awareness, so I can do whatever I want. But this isn't the expression of the non-dual expanse. It's just another intellectual idea about what we are. Complete perceptual openness in all experience guarantees right action that is beneficial to oneself and others, which it's just so beautiful, you know, it's really amazing. This is who we are as human beings. There's never been a human being born. Isn't one living now, and there isn't one that'll be born in the future who isn't primordially pure, the primordially pure unborn. And when we're given unerring instruction in realizing that, then the exalted wisdom body of our own nature becomes totally obvious. It's so clear. It's just, and it's clear that it's never been unclear, what's more, no matter what we may have thought in the past. Primordial purity has never had any gender identification or skin color or shape or form or substance of any kind. So this, you know, makes life easy.